Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I think we're actually live. I was sitting here, Jack, waiting for the jingle again. This is
done. Oh yeah, no more jingle, and I won't sing. So
don't
please
sing.
Don't ask.
I'm still
hoping for some Social Geek Radio listener out there to record a new jingle for us. And as
okay.
I said a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
if you make it sound like an Elvis Costello song, you'll win the contest. So
yeah. So we need to go to the Facebook page of Social Geek Radio, throw that out there, offer them, I don't know, some special. Hey, they can be a guest, to help
yeah,
us celebrate our fourth year coming into Social Geek Radio. But I missed you, Jack, but you've done such a fabulous job filling in for me when I'm out on assignment.
Thank you. And I got to say, that's quite an assignment that you've been on over the past couple of weeks with all of your world travels. Your new nickname is the Ziplining Gigi. So
there you go. So, yes, Gigi, for all of you who don't know, I'm a grandmother. Yes, I'm old enough to be a grandmother, but ziplining, but I'm young enough to zipline with my 30-year-old daughter who decides that would be the fun thing to do to celebrate a birthday. So, in Belize. So, but here's the thing. Now, we talk social media and telephones and cell phones and things like that. I bet 90% of the individuals in Belize not only have a cell phone, they are all talking on their cell phone, but they are so social, they talk Facebook. It is hilarious to be in the jungle and zip lining and listening to the locals talking about, did you see something on Facebook? And, oh, yeah, man, I saw that. And it's like, whoa, what?
Yeah, I think the thing that when you were telling me that story, the first thing I thought of is all of these people who don't get the idea that Facebook is not a platform any longer for people sitting at their desk on a desktop computer. Now,
no.
Facebook is a mobile platform for people looking at their smartphones. Whether you're in Chicago, Houston, Dallas, or Belize, you're more likely to access your news feed and see what's happening with your friends and hopefully some brands on your smartphone, via Facebook, not from a desktop anymore. So,
and that
so
Facebook
it's
sign,
interesting to have that worldview. Yeah,
yeah, it's on every little business. Tiny. You're talking tiny little cabana businesses, and it's like us on Facebook. It's like, whoa, let me see if I can find you. So,
well, you know, I think the cost of entry to social media marketing just allowed so many small businesses to skip past, all of those things like newspaper and television advertising and that sort of thing and go right to where they can connect with people. It's fantastic. What do you think it's going to look like 5 years from now in Belize with
oh, my God,
these,
I no idea.
You know, think about that. So
yeah, think about
good.
It.
Welcome back. I'm glad you had a good trip.
I had a fabulous trip. And you have lined up fabulous guests for us tonight.
Yes. We have joining us live on the air is Mr. Brett Duncan. Brett is a guy who I've known for, Brett, how long has it been? A couple of years now, just from sort of the social media marketing conference circuit, right?
Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 years. Okay, I can't remember. It was that Optum conference, right?
Yeah, that was a great conference there in your hometown of Dallas, and I remember meeting you, and you were sort of filling me on the world of digital marketing for direct sales. So welcome to the show, Brett. We appreciate you being on tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm extremely excited to be here and, share what I've got, and hopefully your audience. I think we're going to see some similarities between the two industries, and it's always good. I love learning from other industries and finding ways to apply principles that either apply across the board or maybe, are just so similar and in sync with what you're doing that it's a light bulb that maybe you can't get to go off, when you're around people doing the exact same thing that you're doing.
Yeah, and that's always been sort of the thing with me with direct selling. I've worked with a few organizations doing some marketing in the direct sales field, not nearly as much as we do within the franchising industry, but there's always been sort of this brotherhood or sort of a similarity between how the two industries work, and I think there might be some good ideas we can steal from each other, quite frankly. Brett, give us a little bit of background on you and your new company and position and so forth.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chuck. It's well, I grew up in Kentucky, so you're sitting here talking about how advanced Belize is, and believe it or not, they're on Facebook in Kentucky, too, I found out. So that's good, but moved to Dallas to go to college here and just stuck around. Love it. I actually live, for those familiar with the Metroplex, live in the Flower Mound area, so just north of the airport. And I got into the direct sales industry back in 2002 for the extremely mature reason that I knew a few people that worked at this one company, and I also saw a girl that I thought was extremely attractive working there. So I thought, hey, I'll go work there. You know, it was just a job. And it ended up being a great investment on many fronts. The girl is now my wife and mother of my son. And I also, it went from being a job to something, to a passion. And so for those not familiar maybe with the terminology, direct sales, it really applies to several different types of companies, but party plan companies, network marketing companies, companies like Mary Kay, companies like Vima, Advocare, Manatech that are out there. And so I have worked on the corporate side since 2002 in that industry. And you can with a couple different companies in that industry. And then just a couple months ago, it's always been my dream and always been my plan to start my own business, my own marketing and communications consultancy that's focused primarily on direct sales, but not entirely. And so that's what I did. March 3rd, I guess, was my last day. I was serving as vice president of global marketing. And March 4th, I launched my company called Idea Adrenaline. And the whole idea about, behind Idea Adrenaline is just helping people energize their ideas. You know, and I have a real passion, and from what people tell me, they appreciate me stepping in. They've got a big idea. I can come to the table with my team with big ideas for their big ideas. And that's what I enjoy doing, and that's what's going on. It's keeping me extremely busy, and it's extremely fresh, which is fun. And so here we are today, and that's, again, it's a true blessing, and again, a blessing to be here with you guys.
Well, that's a great story, and I love the name, Idea Adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like an action verb or something. You know, it's you're already in motion for these clients. So let's talk a little bit about the structure in a direct selling organization, sort of like a franchise system. Typically, you've got sort of the hub-and-spoke idea where there's a corporate team that's doing marketing and communications and all of that kind of stuff. And then you've got typically salespeople out in the field or associates or some terminology like that, correct?
That's right, yes. And the way it works – oh, go ahead, Jack.
Oh, and are they – let's make sure I'm getting this right. Are they licensing the brand? Are they they're typically not employees of the corporation, correct?
That's right. Yeah, they are independent associates or consultants or distributors, whatever our company might call them. And, you know, while it's not a technical licensing agreement, in a very fundamental way, and a lot of what they're doing is they're really becoming brand ambassadors. For what you're doing. So from the corporate side, you know, different companies start in different ways, but in its simplest terms, you might have a company that says, hey, we have a great product here. Let's say it's a nutritional supplement, something like that, and we believe the best way to distribute this product is person-to-person through a direct sales model. And it is. It's amazing. Actually, a study I was just looking at, it just came out that shows in the U.S., two-thirds of everyone, the whole population, has bought a product through the direct sales model. So it's one of those things that oftentimes can get overlooked, and yet it is a huge industry, and a huge companies are built, you know, distributing through this. And so from the corporate side, you can have a very, very traditional organization, marketing team, sales team, supply chain, R&D, distribution. But fundamentally, it's really, I'd say really what a corporation does on direct sales is you are facilitating the evangelism, you know, because you are letting independent associates and really in a lot of cases a volunteer army become the sales channel and the distribution channel for what it is that you have to offer. So while you have a lot of control over that, you also, you know, don't always have necessarily control of it per se. So you just have to help guide your people as they go through that and empower them to make the most of it. And the beauty of it is, you know, people love buying from people that they know and people that they trust. And people trust people a lot faster than they trust companies. And so the direct sales model really leverages that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the areas that always struck me as being so similar with not all franchise systems, maybe not the brick and mortars as much, but you know the service brand type industries, whether it's you know home maintenance or some of the types of franchise systems that one could run out of their home. It is that same sort of person-to-person contact, and you know you're working with that local person in your community, getting that product or service. You're not just ordering it from some you know faceless corporation from a website, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's definitely ways that companies are leveraging the web. You know, but those leaders that really excel obviously start at the local level. And then they work their way out. And the beauty of it is the company may be in 20 different markets. You know, the last company that I worked with, Manatech, was in 24 markets when I left. And so as an independent associate of that company, yes, you had the opportunity to sell to family and friends and share with them or share with people on a local level, but you also had the opportunity if you wanted to you know, with that same ID number, that same account, you could start a global business. And so some people took full advantage of that, and some people weren't interested in that at all. And the beauty of it is it's your business. Do with it as you like, as long as it falls within the boundaries that corporate sets.
Uh-huh. Do most direct sales organizations set, like, a geographical boundary for each of the associates out there?
Actually, no, most don't. I think there are a couple that might do that. But really, it is they are trying to a direct sales model is really trying to leverage you know a natural network. So we talk a lot about social networking, and obviously, just like in the franchising industry, you know, social networking, social marketing comes up, and it's like what a natural fit. And obviously, it is a natural fit for direct sales, and there's also still struggles within that. But it's really geographically speaking, there are no limits. So if you have family in Belize and your company is open in Belize, you know, then you have an opportunity to have a business to where you have a customer who might live next door to you and you have a customer who lives in Belize. But, you know, at the same time, they get access to the same website, they order products, you get credit, and the company ships the product in most instances. So it's a pretty beautiful model, especially for someone who has the entrepreneurial itch. And maybe they don't know, hey, how far do I want to take this? I just know I want to have my own business. You know, what it has done in terms of freedom for people or even in terms of, you know, forget owning your own business or a full-time opportunity, what it's done for people who just need some extra income, who just need a car payment, you know, and it's something that they can do while still working their normal 9-to-5. The stories, obviously, that pour in on that from company to company are truly amazing and inspiring.
Yeah. I think that's one area that is set apart a little bit from franchising, and Deb, please jump in here too. Franchising, for the most part, seems very geographically focused for most franchisees when it comes to online marketing and sales. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, and it's very regulated, but yeah, certainly geographic is right. This whole topic fascinates me. I've never thought about, you know, this direct sales and everything that's involved here. It is very different than franchising.
Yeah.
In that respect, it definitely is. It's, again, because it's kind of like, hey, take this business wherever you want to.
And you don't, you know, as Jack was saying, you pretty much don't hear of that in franchising. It's like, you know, don't step into my territory. That's my zip code or that's my county.
Right, yeah.
So where with what you're talking about in direct sales, your next door neighbor could be selling the same thing that you're selling.
Right, yeah. Now, I will say, though, while that's all possible, more times than not, the people who truly excel on a local level. So even though the possibilities are wide open, the principles still kind of, you know, are there in terms of, hey, I'm on a local level. I'll give you a great example, and this might apply to franchising. I'm not for sure, but the way that I've really seen the social marketing work in the direct sales space isn't so much, an independent rep doing something on Facebook, and I go to their page, and I'm interested, and I buy product, and although that can happen, a lot of people do that very well. I look at it, I mentioned I'm from Kentucky, so I'm looking at over a period of time on Facebook, and I see one of my high school friends who still lives in my small town in Kentucky talk about, you know, a company that they're a part of now, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I see another high school friend in the same town talk about it, and then I see another friend talk about it, you know, and by the end of it, if I've got four or five friends who are talking about this same company, it's only natural now for me to think, wow, there must be something to this. You know, and who knows if I'm going to, you know, become one of their customers or whatever, but from an overall corporate brand standpoint, that is a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to leverage that and say, hey, people that I know are talking about this brand, there must be something to it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's hard to get your hands around that sort of reach number that isn't, you know, just looking at the messages that you're putting out from corporate or from your agency and how many people are seeing those messages. But, you know, if you start counting just the casual conversations that the associates of this company are having with, you know, their old classmates and their old friends and their neighbors, I mean, that's got to be a pretty hard thing to measure and get your arms around, I would imagine.
Yeah, it can be very difficult. There's a part of it you have to sit there and decide, hey, this is the model works best it's really about creating the boundaries and accepting, okay, we're going to make sure that these boundaries are in place. We're going to make sure we can measure these factors. And we realize some of these other factors we can't get a handle on, and that's okay. And we invite you to go crazy within those boundaries with this product and with this opportunity. So, it's a lot of fun, and yet on the corporate side, when you're responsible for keeping an eye on those boundaries or when you're trying to manage a brand, it's obviously an ongoing love-hate relationship in terms of, okay, I see what you did there, but that really has nothing to do with our brand, you know, so let's kind of rein that back just a little bit. And of course, they'll come back, you know, many of them, the beauty of it too is, you know, they're not necessarily MBAs, you know, coming out of school. And I mean, you have people who are, hey, looking at this as a part-time opportunity. They come from all walks of life. And to them, a sale is a sale. And to be quite honest, if I'm in their shoes, I don't blame them.
Right.
But you also, at the corporate level, you have a responsibility to take care of that brand as well. So you have to balance that. And I'm sure that comes up in your industry as well.
Yeah, that love-hate relationship, Deb, have you ever heard that expression before?
Well, yeah, so that certainly comes up in franchising. But, Jack, have you ever heard a brand president say, just go crazy, but stay within the boundaries? You know,
yeah.
I hear in franchising, stay within the boundaries. Absolutely do not go crazy. So, I mean, just that right there is just like, wow, that's very different than franchising.
But I got to say, I think my personal opinion, I think some franchise marketing could use a little bit more crazy. You know,
I totally agree there.
It's easy to stay within the boundaries, but, you know, it also means you're probably not going to knock it out of the ballpark if you're always staying within the boundaries. So,
well, and keep in mind too, what I'm saying there is that we definitely want them to stay within the boundaries, you know, and we want them to feel freedom within those boundaries. And it's actually, if you're familiar with Brian Clark with Copy Blogger, he talks a lot, and I'll find the post and send it to you. Maybe you can put it in the show notes, but he talks about you're more creative when you're given boundaries, right? I mean, if you were to sit down with a blank canvas and someone say, hey, draw something for me, you get stuck, right? Because you're like, well, what am I going to draw?
Right.
I can draw this, I can draw that. But when they say, hey, draw me a picture of the person you met in Belize, okay, now you have boundaries, and now you can get very creative with how you draw that picture. And so in my mind, and I'll tell you, there's some people with indirect sales on the corporate side who would say, I don't know that I would say go crazy. But here's the truth, and I bet it applies to what you're doing too. They're going to go crazy. you know, mm-hmm. within them. So I would rather them feel empowered, but also know, hey, you cross that boundary, we have to do something about it as good stewards of this company and of this brand. But it's amazing the freedoms that you have that we are completely fine with and actually celebrate that.
And I like that word empowered a lot mm-hmm. as well. And to take your drawing a picture metaphor another step, it's like draw a picture, but here, use our crayons and paper, you know. And I think,
right.
I think, you know, giving people, whether it's a franchisee or a direct sales associate, giving them the tools for which that they can go out and be creative, I think that's something that sounds like you're right on track with as well. Can you tell us some best practices in specifically in social media that you're advising your clients now to do in direct selling? You know, what are you telling people that they should or shouldn't be doing on Facebook and Twitter and some other places?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's really more philosophical, but it's crucial. I used to do a lot of social media training for the field of the company I was working at, and I would start with, and where I was working, it was a bit of an older demographic, and I would start with, please do not get on Facebook just so you can sell more product. You know, and the point there being, again, these are individual people, so a lot of them are thinking about ways, how can I leverage my profile versus a page, although there are stipulations where they need to use a page. But the idea there being, if you're getting on to sell, you've lost the whole point to begin with. You know,
yeah.
The key here is obviously you have a new way to nurture relationships. And through that, you know, by becoming an authority in whatever your topic is, you know, really I think from a direct seller standpoint, the big win is oftentimes it's making sure people are aware without being annoying so that when and if they ever are ready to either buy the type of product that you have or if they're open to looking at ways of earning income in a different way, they think of you, you know. But very rarely is their timing the same as your timing. So, I always started there with just, if you're not on Facebook now, think twice before you get on. I'm not saying you shouldn't get on, and I'm not saying as a business owner, you know, there's probably bigger issues if you're not on there, but at least start there, and, you know, let's go from there. The other thing, too, and you mentioned it at the top, kind of, again, I keep bringing Belize up, but you mentioned how mobile that community was. And the companies in direct sales that are succeeding right now, a lot of them are new companies who are getting to start from scratch. So they don't have baggage. They don't really have old systems that they have to make up for. And so they are starting their company with a mobile idea. I mean, if you think about it for a second, direct sales is the ultimate mobile business, you know. And so there's companies out there now. Vema right now is a great one based in Arizona. It's Vemma. And they're exploding right now. And they've got, their whole business can be run from your phone. You know, you can sell products, you know, even person to person. Because that's another key thing here is direct sales is still, at the end of the day, a person to person business. But you can use all of this online technology. You don't have to choose one or the other. It enhances the opportunities to be person to person. And so you can, if we're talking at Starbucks and I have the opportunity to get my iPhone out and go ahead and order you product or you can do it yourself, obviously. But also, let's say I'm in the business and I have reports, right? I want to see where I'm at. How's my volume doing this month? Who do I need to talk to who hasn't placed an order, who typically does? Who ordered a couple days ago that I need to follow up with and just give them good customer service? You know, all of these things are fundamental in direct sales. But to be able to equip and, again, empower your sales force, it is crucial to do that in the way that they want it to be done, and that's all mobile right now. And so there's companies that do that well, and there's companies struggling to do that. There's companies that want to do it, but they are struggling to get out of where they've been before. And, you know, again, I bet you've seen it in your industry to where people know what they need to do, but they also don't have the luxury always of scrapping their current platform and moving to a new one. But at the end of the day, a lot of times that's what we need to do. And so that's a key part is, you know, even within social or beyond social is mobile. And all that entails, it is a huge part of the direct sales industry right now.
That's a very good point.
It makes sense that, you know, you're dealing with people, and again, there's a lot of franchise systems that are this way too. your people who are out there are not people who are in an office. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're in their car, or they're in their delivery truck, or they're in their, you know, whatever mode of transportation that they have, and they're out seeing their client base and doing business every day out on the street. So, you know, it's such a great idea to start there, and I love the idea of you know, maybe some new systems coming on that don't have that baggage and don't have
right.
the idea that you've got to have an
yeah.
office with, you know, with a big set of binders and, you know,
yeah.
running all of your paperwork through an office or something like that.
Well, and to be quite honest, in direct sales, that's part of the allure for most people is they don't have to do all that stuff, right? And
yeah.
so, and then duplication is key, you know, and these things help with that. I mean, it needs to be extremely simple because you could have 1,000 people coming in, you know, in a single day, who knows? And how are you going to get them up to speed on what they need to do? And so by having it kind of, again, just very, very duplicatable or duplicable. I think the direct sales industry actually invented the word duplicatable. They finally gave in and put it in the dictionary. You hear that all the time. But I think probably it should be duplicable. But anyway, that's key. And you know what? That's key in any business, really, is duplication. And how do you get to where you can duplicate and multiply at a rate that actually helps growth.
Yeah, scale it up, sure. If there was one little bit of advice that you would give any direct sales company, and maybe it's something that could apply to a franchise system as well, when it comes to some digital marketing or new forms of marketing, what would that one piece of advice be?
Let's see. It might actually be somewhat, I won't call it counterintuitive, but it goes back to my original point of don't start with the technology. Start with what it is you're trying to accomplish and find and use the technology to make that happen. You know, and I see so many people, there are certain instances, there are certain clients that I work with that, as great as Twitter is, it is not the best use of their time, you know, or there might be another that, you know, there's a huge content marketing opportunity, you know, which I'm a huge advocate of and a huge believer in content and, maybe, you know, really loading your site up with it. But especially from a direct sales standpoint, the last thing in the world I want my independent consultants to be doing is all of them going out and starting a blog to where they spend 2 hours a day writing on there when I really wish what they'd be doing is following up with their people, introducing themselves to new people, you know, and there's a balance there. There's definitely people
sure.
who do very well applying content marketing to the direct sales space, but it's the exception, not the rule. And so, you know, let the technology work for you versus you working for the technology and getting caught up in whatever the latest thing is.
I think that's some great advice, and my guess is we could come back 5 years from today and even with whatever technology is coming our way next, I think that advice will still hold. Terrific. Thanks for that. I know we're running out of time, Deb, so
yes.
Brett, give us your down and dirty contact information if somebody mm-hmm. would like to work with you or maybe bring you into a situation as far as getting some more advice or consultation. What's the best way to reach you?
Well, if they just want to go to ideaadrenaline.com, and like I said, this is a fresh business. It is a single page right now. We're about a month away from the full site loading, but there is a form on there where you can leave your info, and that will keep you in the know and give you a little bit of information about me. But again, it is ideaadrenaline.com. So just an A, one word. And
if somebody has a question
there.
For you on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
It is bdunk1, so BDUNC1. There's a story
behind one.
Yeah, there's a story I want to go into there because I'm not proud of it.
All right, well,
I'm
going to ask you that on Twitter then, so you'll have to answer it and be public about it. So,
okay, there
you go. BDunk1 on Twitter. Excellent. Well, Brett,
okay.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. Some great information on direct selling.
No, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see everybody or hear everybody next week.
Yeah, next week, a special guest, Jennifer Cohen, Director of Marketing from Franchise Systems Sports Clips, will be joining us. So
That's
we'll see
awesome.
You next week.
Very good. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.